other dimensions. Your life, universe, and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
Hello once again, and welcome to the Spirit Work Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
I'm Mick Avery. Hi.
We are mediums, healers, and authors who have chosen to serve humanity through our gifts of spirit communication. We focus on education, and on this show, through Mick's deep trance mediumship, we are able to bring you the truth as to the nature of your existence direct from the other side of life. And on today's show, we'll be discussing Unfolding the Law of Attraction. Began with this program last week, and it's very exciting, and we'd love to have any input from you if you'd like to join us with a question. It's not a reading type of situation, okay? We're not going to give you a personal reading. But if you'd like to join us in our discussion and put your points across or ask Gregory a question about what we're talking about, then that'd be great to hear from you. And the number in the U.S., it's all toll-free. In the U.S., 877-876-5222. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. Well, actually, any international callers, if you're up and about, it's 001-530-876-3222.
Well, as well as for...
That's not toll-free, that one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right. Well, as well as Spirit's Work on the wonderful and ever-present bbsradio.com, on Mondays at 7 p.m. we have another radio show which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you would like to know more about us, our books, CDs, maybe book an Akashic reading, or any of the other services we have to offer, we suggest you go visit our websites, which are www.spirit-teaching.com and also live at www.spiritsworkradio.com. Each week, live on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for a group of highly evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s in England, but now he has come back to share the vast insights and wisdom he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth. And I have to do that right now so we can get on with the show. So without further ado, I'm going to hand you back to Sylvie, and she's going to explain more.
I am, and you're going to disappear.
And I am going to disappear.
Yes, Gregory is the spokesperson for the White Cloud Group. They consist of scientific minds of all description, along with ordinary people just like you and I who have gotten input to make from your experiences. They are an educational team and have come to give us access to information that they feel we need to know in order that we may move towards a more harmonious and peaceful way of life. Hopefully to understand the nature of our existence and maybe save our world from the negative spiral we seem to be caught in. When Mick is in trance, his spirit and his consciousness are transported and held by the scientific members of the White Cloud Group so we can enjoy the complete personality of Gregory Hay. This means there's no room for errors because interpretation doesn't come into it. And as Mick said, you can find out more about us from our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. We're also on Second Life on Sunday, 13th of October, at the Mystic Academy in the Oracle Temple, if you'd like to join us there, and that's at 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific. So do get in touch with us if you would like to go to join us, but you have problems, because we can put you in touch with somebody that can help you. So this is all about instigating discussions, either with us or with your own mind and spirit friends. So here we go. Let me see. What was the other thing I was going to say? Oh, yes. Also, we also do Akashic readings, of course. If you would like to know more about that, have a browse through our website and get in touch if you want to know more about that. Okay, so I do believe Gregory's with us now.
With love and light and blessings be upon your pathway, my dear friend, little bird.
Hello, Gregory.
Hello, little bird.
Okay, this is very exciting, talking about the law of attraction, especially in the times that we are in at the moment. We Yes. We need some positive thinking going on here.
I understand that.
Actually, I'd like to just turn it, if I can, to there's claims, obviously, by certain scientific, members of, say, the physicists in particular, for instance, that claim the law of attraction is impossible without violating established scientific principles and our understanding of the universe. So, you know, what would you say about that?
Yes, well, I suppose particularly steady state and other theories do with the way in which perhaps the universe works. And I can understand perhaps some properties of the universe then fly in the face of the law of attraction, meaning, of course, if you are applying these to physical models. For example, I am talking of the whole situation of the actual physical properties of the way in which inherent energies play their part in specific forces. Naturally, the law of attraction doesn't actually apply to do with the actual specific ways of, for example, gravity or the sheer forces involved in moving a particular object and how that actually is interpreted in a physical way. So we have to understand the realities of the law of attraction, which is really, in fact, to do with the energy of the consciousness and with the being that you are. The law of attraction applies to human beings simply because we understand, we know when we create a wrong path or when we create a wrongful decision which is then detrimental to someone else. We know, for example, inherently within us when we have made a wrong or bad decision. It actually is a signpost immediately within us. But for many people, when we make that decision, it may well be to an advantage that we see through our own inner sight as to how that is going to be then further manipulating our own conscious thought or perhaps our activity. And this, as one, creates either a selfish disposition, so it means to say that the law of one decides on a particular pathway may be in the face of absolute adversity. And that pathway is then created. It could be that the pathway turns around and becomes, in the fullness of time, or perhaps further along the linear time field, that decision was in fact completely in error because you knew at the time that such and such was going to be created because of your decision. It was simply made manifest eventually that was the outcome. Eventual outcome is usually brought in to the law of attraction purely and simply because people identify truly what is right and wrong. I understand this may be then an equation of morality for the individual. For example, a person who is driven to murder does not necessarily see that as a part of the inherent law of attraction force. They are merely carrying it out because of their desire or perhaps a decision made on a whim, maybe. That doesn't mean to say that they don't see that it's wrong, but just purely and simply that the creation of the energy that they wanted to carry out simply enabled that to be inflicted. It doesn't necessarily mean that the morality of the one individual necessarily concurs with the law of attraction. It's purely going to be of a resolution of whether that being understands what the law of attraction is and that they actually have the morality code in the first place. If you are looking at a being who doesn't actually possess that morality code, then you're going to have a very difficult time explaining it with the law of attraction. Quite simply, they may not actually see that their activity is wrong. It's exactly the same as people's behaviors, other errant behaviors. Whatever they are, they're usually a discipline of a society or civilization. It's what turns civilization upon its head and decides that you are in fact above an animal, when in fact an animal only usually applies a negative act or what is seen as an emotional negative act by human beings purely and simply because it's what human beings try to say that they won't do, and yet they do it every day by swatting flies, by aimlessly dispatching some other life form, purely and simply because you don't want it in your vicinity, because it's inconvenient or whatever. That surely attracts much greater karma or law of attraction to you simply by the activity you've created. Therefore, I'm saying here, the law of attraction applies very definitely in a physiological way to human beings, purely and simply because they understand, evaluate within themselves, based upon their own morality code, that that is the way of how they should interpret their manifestation of life, if they wish to perhaps have the key to the grace of God, perhaps. Maybe not. Maybe it is that for the certain specific religious understanding that you have, you believe that you have the grace of God key anyway. And quite simply, it doesn't matter whatever behavior you create, you can perhaps forgive, ask for forgiveness at the end of the week, or you can, in fact, face certain invocations or whatever, and then believe that you are unveiled of that disharmony. There, see? Purely and simply, you can just give it away. You can give away your law of attraction in appeasement to some godlike figure saying, oh, well, I'm sorry, I won't do it again, and then go and do it again the following week. Or perhaps it is that you have a more salient attitude and it's something that you really respect. I find it quite incongruous, really, that human beings perhaps would take the energy or the essence of being able to go out and kill something for fun and then understand that your or think that your law of attraction is untainted by that activity and that it's perfectly all right to do that purely and simply because it's your right. Well, if you are doing that to eat it, then I understand it and do not have a problem with it. However, the point is that for people who do so purely for recreation are creating a different law of attraction to themselves. And it means to say that they cannot take that as a rite of passage. So the karma attraction, which of course is just a particular kind of energy of the law of attraction after all, means to say that will apply necessarily to that physical life journey.
Okay. So, So, many say that the law of attraction has its roots in quantum physics. I don't believe any reputable scientist publication has ever supported that, but according to components of this law, thoughts have an energy that attracts like energy, yeah? And in order to control this energy, the proponents state that people must practice three things. I mean, I think it's changed over the years, you know, but basically it's know what you want and ask the universe for it, and feel and behave as if the object of your desire is on its way. So if it's good or bad, this is what it will attract.
Yes, well, I understand that that is the theory, but I'm saying that that is not necessarily going to be the case. What of, then, innocent babes who are murdered or whatever?
Yeah.
What happens then to the law of attraction? You
absolutely.
See, they didn't actually attract it. Their families certainly didn't attract it. Nobody attracted it. Didn't ask for that to occur.
We talked about that last week, didn't
yes,
we? And
yes,
yeah, of course. I mean, and this is why we want to discuss this, because
yes, that's why it's important.
It affects so many different things. And I mean, aren't we broaching on optimism and pessimism here? You know, I mean,
well, possibly
if you view the world as a positive place, then you know, optimists generally believe that people and events are inherently good. Maybe so, most situations possibly work out for the best.
Yes,
in the right environment and circumstances. Like you say, you can't you know, you can't always dictate that, but...
No, quite so. Even a person's passing, after all, can be seen and understood to be for the best, to be at the best interest mm-hmm. of the person who passes. Really, and simply maybe because it puts them out of their misery or something like that. Maybe they're going through some dreadful disease.
So a pessimist would see that as something bad, a bad situation. An optimist would see that as a good situation, that's good for them now because they were having a lousy time here, they were ill, they were suffering.
Yes,
yeah?
Absolutely.
So it does come into play whether you are, do you know what I mean? And it goes back to genetics
yes.
as well and your upbringing
yes,
on cell memory and that sort of thing that you were talking about last week with Gordon.
Yes.
His question.
Yes, but if I just add for a moment that the pessimistic attitude would be that every human being is going to die. Yes, of course, because that's the way and method of you moving from one understanding of conscious life into full realization, I suppose. So what is realization after all? It's just merely one chapter or one turn of the page. The situation that we broached previously with Gordon was surely to do with the whole essence and energy of who or what is a human being and how that human being may identify with the passages of thought and the passages of activity. The whole essence and energy of the law of attraction is really ultimately about activity and decision-making judgment. If a human being makes a judgment under the best circumstances with all available data, does it mean to say that human being is then completely exonerated by their understanding? You could apply exactly the same logic to a person who takes another person's life and say, well, that is the only pathway they could see throughout their judgment. And that maybe if a man takes his wife's life, or a father, or mother, or sister, or brother, who can say that law of attraction is accrued in the best possible sense? It may well be that that was the way that being actually added up, the only pathway that they could take. Does that mean to say then that law of attraction was created in best faith?
Okay, what about hope? What about the word hope?
Yes.
Well, where does that hope fit into it all?
Yes, quite so. Well, hope is something, of course, that's used, bandied about in many different religions, purely and simply because they don't actually have an answer. So it means to say, oh, well, I hope that this will work or that this will happen. So that's a wishful thinking. It's a situation that's not actually a fact. If you hope something... If you are in the sure and certain hope that there's life after death, then it means you're not actually sure. Certainly.
But who can be sure?
Well, because of the fact I'm a dead guy speaking to you.
I know, but you see, this is it. This is it. I'm a skeptic would...
I understand.
I mean, you know, and we've talked about this. We'd love to be able to do something to prove this scientifically, if we could...
Yes.
If we could do it legitimately, but I'm afraid many experiments are designed to fail, but we're always open to...
The possibility.
The possibility of this, absolutely. If
I understand.
Happens. But, yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, isn't it? It's because we can't prove certain things. And, you know, scientists can't prove that they admit, I think many admit that there are sort of, that the brain waves do have an electrical signal, but that they say that quantum physics principles do not act in the way that the law of attraction has said they do, if you know what I mean, because they can't actually prove it.
Yes, I understand that, but that's because the law of attraction is supposed to be so rigid. And in actual
yeah.
fact, what I'm saying is that the manipulation of the law of attraction is somewhat of a minefield of emotional levels. Which means to say that the law of attraction of one, and I'm in a sense playing a devil's advocate here, is that the law of attraction of one is not necessarily that of another, purely and simply because of your morality code. It depends entirely upon where your morality code was originally constructed. After all, morality in human terms is driven by consensus of opinion. The consensus of opinion was not that Jesus walked upon water, it was a fact. So inherently created within one specific book, and yet has been created again and again and again throughout different stories of different peoples, both of Buddha, both of many other beings who were so supposed to carry exactly the same burden or the same instigation of how they could interact with the physical life. Exactly the same as different properties of being able to manifest themselves in more than one place at one time. Sai Baba, for example, being a complete exponent of this energy and practice. Does that mean to say it's a division of hope? Or does it mean to say it's an anatomical fact? When one understands the law of attraction of one thing, does it mean to say it applies to everything? This is part of the problem that science has difficulty with, and that human beings absolutely have difficulty with, because you are seeing that the law of attraction of one thing applies only to those steeped within the morality code that it should apply to. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise, you have people who are in total disarray because it may well not apply to the man called Bundy, for example, who slaughtered so many people. Bundy himself did not actually relate necessarily to the fact that what he really clinically did was inherently wrong, although he knew deep within a cell through the law of attraction that it was wrong. You understand a difference there? Because in actual fact, he just carried on regardless because it stated an emotional level and also a physical psychological level within him. And that meant to say that Bundy actually created the purpose through his own life expectancy, through the energies he cherished, which were to do with the way in which he related to the way that he dispatched those people that he so mercilessly slayed. Slain.
Uh-huh.
That means to say he was actually looking at and using a specific kind of energy. I understand that karma eventually caught up with him, as it inevitably will. But in a sense, human beings then look at karma and say, ah, well, yes, you see, I told you karma always wins in the end. But that's simply because eventually the law of attraction had to be that he would get stopped, purely and simply because he overreacted and did it too many times. So being careless in his trail eventually meant that he was found out. It was always understood that somebody was doing it, but not exactly who.
Yes, well, and somebody's... oh, by the way, if anybody wants to phone in and talk with us about this, if they've got something that they would like to add to our discussion about the law of attraction, the number is a free phone, 877-876-5227 in the U.S., and 888-815-9756 in Canada. Yes, I was just thinking about how we, in the main, feel that people get their just deserts because they get executed and found out that they've got their karma. But that actually isn't it, is it? It doesn't stop there.
No, quite
so. I mean? That's just doing it on a physical earth level.
Yes, and in any case, what does that actually prove? It doesn't actually prove anything apart from the fact that you have actually expended a great deal of finance in order to carry out that wish. The point is that kind of energy doesn't prove anything. And all it means is that it's another life dispatched. It does not actually create the right karmic passage for that to happen. And most certainly, a civilized society does not actually gain anything by actually dispatching anyone in that way, or in any way. See? It's actually much more inherent to keep that person physically alive, perhaps, but have them withdrawn completely from a society. So if you have a situation where a person takes another life, then you need to take their free life away. That doesn't mean take their life away,
no,
but their free life, their freedom.
Absolutely. Yeah,
and perhaps re-educate them.
In fact, you're doing them a favour by dispatching them in a way.
Yes, absolutely so, because they obviously don't want to be there anyway.
Yeah,
but, or
absolutely.
They've actually understood the completely wrong message. They gained the wrong message through their valued lessons in society. That is what a society has created. That's my point, really, that people only create huge negative situations and activities because a society, collection of people, allows them to do it. If you don't allow them to do it, if you take that freedom away and you catch them, find them guilty, and lock them up, re-educate them into understanding what it was they created in their life and the harm and the detriment that they created in that life, then restores the balance. And they, too, become eternally embarrassed and try to make good for that state. That's when you actually know that the position has been created in the right pathway, in the right energy. Yes.
Okay. Hello, caller. Who's speaking, please?
Hi, it's Nina. How are you guys?
Oh, hello, Nina.
Hi,
hello,
how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much.
I'm
forever grateful to you guys and everything that you are helping everyone and teaching me and just finding my own truth. And, you know, I can say that the road, it hasn't been an easy one, but all the same, I still love it, you know, everything I find and everything that happens.
Well, we're privileged, isn't it?
So we're talking about the law of attraction, and it's so funny because in my group, I asked them to do visual boards of things that we want. Does that actually? I mean, I think it actually works. Does it actually work?
Yes. The point is, friend, is to apply positive energy, and by applying positive energy, particularly, I have to say, in a group setting, it actually becomes stronger. That's the point. So if you move together in a very positive way, perhaps you are asking for something, for example, a prayer for a loved one or something like that, you maybe even draw to this in a very physiological way. So actually create physical activity around that creates a stronger bond between you because you are acting in unison to something, which also then creates a much more powerful energy into the universe. I'm really suggesting, in a sense, that there are many other energies which are at work, which human beings can actually latch on to and create positive change in their world, that you can have a positive effect, and also you can have a negative effect. That's why it is that people, when they bandy together and create negativity, pirates on the high sea, whatever it is that they're doing, that the energy that you create together or singularly is going to obviously have an effect. And it does, purely and simply because of your giving. That's the point.
Mm-hmm. I have to say that when I do have a bad thought in my head, you know, I try to get it out as quick as I can, because I feel like it can poison me, and I don't want that.
Yes.
You know, now, is it bad to want good things, like a really nice car, Mercedes?
No.
Well, my dear friend, you want something that's reliable.
Exactly.
That's the point.
Uh-huh.
And so my point is that when you wish for something good for somebody else, or perhaps it's for yourself, part of your own energy is saying that you feel bad about it. Perhaps you feel guilty.
Yeah.
Why would anyone feel guilty about having a physical object which actually not only brings you pleasure because of mm-hmm. of its temporary alignment with you, but also because of the fact that it helps you to create a positive energy about yourself. Now, that's mm-hmm. not a situation of ego. You must understand that just by having the trappings of physical life, human beings, unfortunately, tend to fall into the trap when they are perhaps reacting or working in situations of a spiritual value. It shouldn't be that everyone walks around like a monk begging off of everyone else.
Right.
Because that, in effect, means to say that you are a parasite upon mm-hmm. everyone else.
Not that we're saying that monks are parasites.
No,
No. Of course not. But I'm just saying that, in effect, you see, but the point is that that would be a situation that a monk would laugh at,
mm-hmm.
quite simply, because they're just saying, well, we don't need possessions. But obviously you do need possessions because you're having a physical life. So it's actually a ridiculous thing to say.
Definitely.
Because
I think the feeling bad part is because you know that so many other people are in need, and I guess you just have to be grateful for what you have and, you know, just know that it's their experience. I mean, that's how
absolutely
I'm trying to see.
Yes, and just because a human being in this present age wants to attract something nice to themselves, perhaps a dwelling or something like that, I actually, personally, have never, ever seen anything wrong with it. I always used to look out of our, I cannot say our cottage window, because we didn't actually have glass in our windows at all. It was just a hole to look out through and look at the people in their large mansions and all of that round about, when we actually slept on straw. But I didn't understand or actually relate to it in a way that I was then aggrieved at the people who had a nice mansion. I was purely impressed with it. And also, I was very pleased with it because it meant that we always had work. So
mm-hmm.
I would be able to go and work at that lovely mansion and in the grounds and the gardens of it. So I was privileged to be able to do that. That's then, in essence, a shared energy. It's only purely and simply an embellishment of what human beings want to create in their life, and there is nothing whatsoever wrong with that.
If you stand I was just going to say, remember your question, Nina. I was just going to say, if you turned up in rags to present your case for spirit and your spiritual pathway or whatever, or people came to you, clients came to you, and you looked like you'd just, you know, been to a jumble sale or whatever, then that's not going to be doing your cause a lot of good, is it?
Yeah.
No, quite so. At the other extreme, of course, you may well have a, so say, guru who swans around in a Rolls Royce, and that may well be something that they attract to them. And perhaps identify and say, well, you see, we can have the law of attraction of good things.
Mm-hmm.
It depends
Is this your own creation that you do, or do your angels, your guides, your doorkeeper help you to do these things, like when you want to create these things for yourself?
Yes, well, let's really look at it then as whether what you are creating for yourself, does it mean to say it's a purely selfish attitude? Or if it's something that there is no reason why you cannot, purely and simply, because you are having a physical life? That's really what I'm saying, is that the whole situation is that there is no fault here for a person to want to have an improved lifestyle. There is no reason why anyone on this planet of Earth or in the spirit world would actually want to live in poverty. No spirit wants to really have a physical life living in poverty. So the actual thought of any of us coming to have a physical life, being born on the plains of Africa with absolutely nothing, is really going to be helpful to that spirit's life. However, as the spirit's pathway who endures such a situation of creation, it may well be that was the pathway that helped that spirit to become enlightened in some other way, in some further understanding.
So
it doesn't detract from the sense.
So you're
that
not saying
human physical people have.
You're not saying that. I think the question probably that Nina's thinking. I mean, you don't sit down and do a particular invocation or way of thinking or ritual to attract certain things of material wealth to you, but in asking in general for the whole picture in your spiritual work, it's the cause behind it, isn't it? It's the
yes.
motivation and method, your intention, basically.
Yes.
That if this is the case and it's successful, those things will be there as well?
Yes. Now, so for example, then a person, so say by many strands of society, partly maybe because they're jealous, whatever, that it may well be that they will say, oh, well, if you are of a truly spiritual value, you shouldn't actually have any trappings of the state of life. And, of course, they would say that, wouldn't they? Purely and simply because there is a degree of jealousy which overruns their limited value and their limited set of thinking, actually creating something that, well, so that if you are supposed to be a spiritual person, you're supposed to be poor and in poverty. That's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. And there is no rhyme or reason to actually have that as a part of the allotted pathway, that you are, in fact, supposed to be trying to create a valued lesson and also trying to create a valid pathway. That doesn't mean to say that you have to walk around without shoes.
Good to hear. Thank you again. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Nina.
Thank you.
Do call again soon.
I
and
definitely
will.
And blessings
to your family, dear friend.
Thank you, love. Thank you. Many blessings to you.
Bye-bye. All.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
Yes, I mean, you know, you need money to get from A to B to do things, be heard, you know.
Well,
it's
yes,
just, it's just not the case anymore.
To print a book, to do this, to do that. It's a physical life. That's what you're creating, and that's what you have to work with. Then work with it. I'm not saying that you use it to an advantage over and above someone else. You are creating something which is then to the detriment of someone else. Perhaps you are using them in some way of leverage in order to gain a certain position, then that is obviously going to accrue you a negative response from the whole of the universe, in a sense, because you are using a negative pathway. And that has a specific effect upon you because you know inherently within you that you've already created it. Because your intention of that which is behind it, it's to do then with your intention of energy. So as I said to Nina, if you gather together a certain set of people and you are very positive and loving and giving, perhaps joining the levels of serotonin between you, this means to say that chemically you alter your balance. Imagine then, if you will, that you were 98% water. Yes, you are, of course. And the point is that by raising your serotonin level, you actually change the balance, pH balance, of that water that you are a part of. The world in which you live is also a mass of water. I won't say it's 98% because it isn't. It's actually mostly iron. But the world on which you live and the relationship that you have with water means that if you create positivity within your own energy, that is water that you are, and you change that energy for something which is very positive and forward-focused, then it means that energy is going to permeate throughout the distillation of other people's energy, because their water will be affected by the way that you change your energy. You change yourself to positive states. That means that you are encompassing other people's will. You are helping them, wanting to create a better pathway for them. That is a much better road than ones of other people who create war.
Okay, I don't want to get into the karma and reincarnation thing here, but if somebody is constantly, thinking about whatever their karma, and let's say they are feeling rather sorry for themselves, and they feel that it's their contract, and they're constantly daily, the minute they wake up, thinking about that, and it's a depression basically, and they're thinking about the karma, the things that they must have done, and all of that sort of thing. This is very inhibiting for the law of attraction to work in a positive way, isn't it?
Yes. How are you going to create something positive if you actually wake up with those thoughts and pathways you're creating by those thoughts?
You know, if you can suddenly look at their life with that in mind, with the fact that it's planned,
yes.
And I do worry about this situation.
Yes, quite so. So obviously, the best pathway is if you are a person who is ill with some chronic disability or something like that that you've actually been born with, part of your genetics. It may well be that you can create a very positive pathway through that, not necessarily by creating lessons for other people to understand, but actually for you to understand, so that you can rise above that pathway of negativity that other people see, because they look at you and they see the twisted body or something like that, or some other aspect of genetics which has created the difference in manipulation. Purely and simply, then, what you're actually looking at is the way in which this, that you struggle with that life, that you create an alternate pathway and say, you see, despite having this deformity, I can mentally rise above it. I can mentally am aware of being able to produce something positively from it, which means to say that the karmic field is, in a sense, washed away. It's no more. Because despite the obvious obstacles created in your way, you have actually been able to overcome them and are a voice for change. So the reflection really is in how that being understands their deformity or disability and creates positive change around that, in order to create a different pathway. Perhaps not a pathway that's ideally suited, not necessarily a pathway that's exactly the same as if you hadn't had one, as if you hadn't had a disability, or that you didn't have to change or alter your manipulation in order to get around or get over that problem in some other way, so that you deal with it in a different way. A person who has no hands writes with their feet. So what's the problem with that? They just have to learn to be that more dexterous with a different part of their anatomy. And I see that every purpose of that has a very distinct pathway, that of intensive positivity, that of not succumbing to the way that perhaps normal-sighted people or normal-configured people in the standard genetic observe it. They see it as a negative, always will see it as a negative, but then applaud the positive reactive state of that being in that state of manipulation. And it may well be that the greatest beacons of light are created in a sense to show human beings that they can overcome all obstacles placed before them. Maybe not that these obstacles are overcome physically for you to see a rearrangement of cells. Perhaps it's not actually possible to rearrange the cells so that they're all perfect. You wouldn't want to have everyone who has a beautiful voice, and that they also have to have, along with the beautiful voice, an hourglass figure or something like that. How ridiculous. How absolutely... It's creating a negative energy out of something that's positive. So it's like saying, well, you have a really amazing voice or a beautiful way of understanding or analyzing a certain situation or condition of human value, and yet because of the way that you look, you are not entitled to it, or people pour negativity onto it. I do not understand the logic that people have. Are they so shallow that everyone has to have a certain look about them in order to be accepted? It's beautiful, after all. It's all in the eye of what you perceive within the consciousness as well as what you see upon the physical thing.
Mm. Well, I just think, yes, and I think a lot when we hear people, you know, saying that, you know, they're getting along really well and things are really working for them in their life, and they like to know about their past lives and that sort of thing. And my heart sinks, because it's you know, generally, you know, if the theory is that you know, you're trying to make things better, you're here again because obviously you didn't get it right last time or whatever, then you're diminishing your light, aren't you, by getting there?
Absolutely.
By keep going there. So, you're going along lovely. The law of attraction, path of synchronicity, is working for you perfectly. And then we keep harping back to, you know, the bad things that we did before. What were we, you know? And like I say, I don't really want to get into that, but I just...
No, because it's an extremely negative pathway.
It is a negative pathway.
It's completely ridiculous.
Well, and it's irrelevant to your life now.
It's like walking around with a bag of spanners, and you just want to trip yourself up as far as you can throughout your life.
Yeah. Okay. Hello, Cora, who's speaking?
Yes, this is Michael. I want to tell you that this is the best conversation you've ever had. Really enjoying your conversation.
You.
It's in-depth. It's very nice. And I want to let you know that I'm really enjoying it tonight. It's very different than usual, and you're doing a great job. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Lots of love. Bye-bye. Wow, that's sweet. Taking the time to do that. That's lovely. Yes, so, okay, where are we now?
Well.
Yes, that's right. We were talking about that and how it's probably a lot healthier to just forget about reincarnation and karma and just move along with your life. And
create a positive state within that life.
Yeah.
Because I'm saying this energy works. It does. It actually works. The creation of what you understand as the law of attraction is something not just ergonomic. It's something that has to have a factual basis in your reality. And that means it might well be that it's your interpretation of it. So be it. If that's the way that you want to rule your life, but then you have to collect your energy and understand how you can use it for the betterment, not just of yourself, but of others and your environment. That's really why it is so important. Because if you do not, the alternative is to wallow in self-pity and then to create negative attraction and further negative energy. The problem that human beings are existing in at this present time, it's not something that was unleashed yesterday. It was actually unleashed years ago. That's the point. It was a build-up of situations, circumstances, of behavior that was allowed to unravel and become out of control. And so what human beings have to do as a collective is to rein that back in. If you do not rein it back in, and you allow these different situations to continue to spiral out of control and create chaos and create injury to self-lives, then you are allowing the whole of the energy of the compassionate state, of the energy of your positivity, to also be created by chaos. That means to say then, your thoughts are unraveled. They're not collected. They become rather at risk to different energies and facets of the universe.
And I think that's the thing that we... I was doing some research, and actually I discovered that the law of attraction actually first started being talked about in 1879. That's the furthest I could get back, really. And from then on, 1902... 1907, 1919, 42, different people brought out different books. Some called it something slightly different. In fact, we used to call it, we've got it in one of our books, haven't we? And we call it positive harmonic propulsion,
yes.
Don't we?
But, yes.
I can't remember where I was going with that now. But
Well, positive harmonic propulsion is actually the energy that you create to enforce your... will of wisdom, if you like. So it's actually your gathered energy. And positive harmonic propulsion is what you do to create positive harmonics within your life, so that instead of allowing past thoughts and attitudes to infect your life, to then instill crisis, you actually remove that from the energy of your consciousness. This is a willful act, then. It means to say that you have to develop a different way of actually moving and motivating your conscious thought and ethic. So it means to say you're actually tackling the energy that you create as a human being head on.
So it's like going out of the door in the morning with a sweeping brush in front of you, sweeping a clean path for yourself, rather than just going out and not actually projecting your energy before you.
Yes, absolutely so. If you wake up in the morning with the same energy that you went to sleep with, there's something wrong. If you wake up with the same notions, or perhaps that you have raised fears of what you are going to face this day, they don't actually amount... usually, to what you think it's going to be, but rather that they create a different pathway.
It randomly takes you along the wrong way.
Yes.
Yeah, okay,
absolutely.
Well, I'm sure we can all associate with that. Thank you very much, Gregory.
You are welcome.
Sure, that's
blessings
been wonderful.
Be upon your pathway, my dear friend. Thank you, Sue.
Thank you.
Yes.
And we hope you've enjoyed the show. Thank you so much for your phone calls. And I'd just like to mention our website again, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out more information about us, or maybe book yourself a meditation reading. There are some videos of Gregory on YouTube and on our site. And, we hope to see you again next Monday on the wonderful BBS Radio. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. And until next time... peaceful, be positive and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.